All right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me see who's on here. Scooter Magruder is on. Joe Heathen is on. Skunk 71 is on. Mike Griffith is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. PD Frank is on. Neo Solo's on. Tim L. T-Bird's on. Robin Aroni is on. Kansas Law Dog is on. Greg Ninemon is on. Fire Pits is on. Volvo 960 is on. Lisa Kinzer's on. Guitar Glenn is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Let me see. Peg McGroin is on. Keeper 1376 is on. Snag Dog is on. John Phillips is on. Let me see. Kansas Law Dog is on. Let me see. Jules 21 Hours on. Wisconsin Honey Badger's on. K4 VMS is on. Gloyd Shaw's on. LEG is on. Scrolling down. Todd Suff is on. Biggie is on. General Plowman is on. Charlie 340 is on. Stefa Toms is on. Clean Sanchez is on. LA 106 Times is on. Granite 2468 is on. Milwaukee James is on. Let me see if I missed anybody here. Jesus Mighty Name is on. Mimi 2424 is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Blade Runner is on. Beehaven is on. Jim Brody's on. Let me see here. Anybody else I missed? Waterline 46 is on. Agravane is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's hop into some miscellaneous stuff before we get to Auto Pen. And let's try to avoid Iran. But Iran is up. That's a ways down. I don't know if I'll get to any Iran stuff tonight, which is good. Give everybody a break. Everybody can stop fighting, potentially. But, of course, it'll probably come up in the conversation anyway. But, anyway, let's go to the first one. Leading Report tweet. Just to show you what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. And what a horrible thing it is to be a Democrat in 2025. Think about all that you stand for as a Democrat in 2025. I mean, you have the standard. You want men and women's restrooms. You believe in lopping off penises and testicles and breasts of 12-year-olds. You want open borders, a border invasion. You just elected a Muslim communist to be the mayor of New York City or to run for mayor of New York City. And now you have this. Breaking House passes, Leading Report tweet. Breaking House passes bill to ensure illegal aliens who drive drunk get deported. I think that'd be a good thing, right? Since they're already here illegally, give it to me, Aaron.
Illegally.
They're already here illegally, and now they get caught driving drunk, a misdemeanor or low-grade felony in every state of the union. And Republicans vote, you know what? They automatically get deported, which should be automatic. If you have a criminal arrest or a criminal conviction, you should automatically be deported since you're already here illegally anyway. But 160 Democrats voted against it. And by the way, if I remember correctly, just about the same amount of Democrats voted against deporting child sex predators. Same thing. Yeah, the people who commit sex crimes inside the United States of America, Democrats voted to keep them in. And by the way, these are standalone bills. These are not, and you'll hear about this later on if I get to it, if I get to the Senate parliamentary portion of the show tonight. But you have these standalone bills like this, then you have these omnibus and minibus packages. And how, of course, the omnibus and minibus packages are, they give you a way in and they give you a way out. And what I mean by that is this. Is it'll be like 67 things over a 1,800 page document for an omnibus or minibus spending package or a CR continuing resolution. So you end up voting, and what they do with all of these things is they put in a ton of negative things like funding for Planned Parenthood, lopping off penises, testicles, and breasts, funding for Hamas. They put all that in there, and then they put a Save the Puppies program in there. So if you vote against it, they go, we'll vote it against saving the puppies. That's what they do. But this one here is a pure standalone bill. Do you want to deport illegals who are caught drunk driving, who are already here illegally, or do you want them to stay? And what it means to be a Democrat in 2025 is, I want them to stay. Go to the next one for me. Just showing this stuff. This is out of Breitbart. Law firm representing Hunter Biden suing him for unpaid legal fees. I wonder why that is. Oh, it's because Joe Biden is no longer the president and no longer a legitimate political figure with any sort of gravitas, with any sort of leverage, with any sort of influence. So now the money has dried up. Isn't that strange? I guess there's no longer any $500,000 finger paintings for him to sell. I guess that's the case, because now he can't even pay his lawyers. Isn't that funny how it works? Because the Bill and Hillary Clinton Foundation went pretty much bankrupt also. Not bankrupt, still functioning, but received really no money ever since Hillary's no longer Secretary of State and is no longer a senator. And of course, Bill is no longer president. Isn't it weird how the money dries up from foreign entities after the political influence is gone? Strange, isn't it? Go next for me. Charlie Kirk tweet. Men do not belong in women's sports. So here, Aaron, is our latest example. Here's our latest example where you have the Switzerland women's team. Now, that is the pro, that is the all-pro women's team for the entire country of Switzerland. They're going to go ahead and, you know, they're going to go and compete in the Euro, which is like a World Cup event for just Europe. But this is the greatest of the greats, of the greatest women's soccer players, adult soccer players, and the entire country of Switzerland scrimmaged. And by the way, they had the video, but the video wasn't good enough to show. They scrimmaged the men. So this should show people, again, what does it mean to be a Democrat in 2025? Men belong in women's sports. Are you sure? Because that will, I mean, almost immediately over probably a decade and a half, eliminate women's sports because of this example right here. Switzerland's women's team. And again, I want to make sure this isn't an amateur team. It's not high school girls. This is the best of adult women ranging from 18 to 35 years of age. They're playing a bunch of under 15 boys. That means they're anywhere from 12 to 14. And they get smoked 7-1, and I guarantee you they let them have the one so that, because they knew that it was going to be international news, and they didn't want it to be 17-0. Smoked 7-1 by 13 and 14-year-old boys. And you want to have men and women's sports. This is what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. That right there, I mean, Simone Biles was in her, you know, her back and forth with Riley Gaines. Simone Biles, this is what she believes, because Simone has never had to face a man competing in her sport. I wonder what it would be. I wonder what would happen if Simone Biles actually had to walk out and do the pommel horse or whatever, the floor exercise, whatever it may be, the unparalleled bars, whatever, the uneven bars, whatever it is, against a man. Because this is how it would go. It's exactly how it would go, just like this. I mean, again, one of the Williams sisters, she said, you know, she was on David Letterman. She said, it's Venus and Serena. Serena Williams, the best one, really considered the best women's player of all time. She's on David Letterman. And David Letterman, of course, is licking her boots and kissing her butt and doing all this stuff. Women are great, aren't they? I can't stand when men kowtow to women. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. God's not a respecter of persons, neither should you. What does that mean? Does that mean you show nobody respect? No. What it means is you do not consider anybody above you, except for Jesus. But anyway, so he's on the, you know, she's on the show. I played the clip on the podcast before. And she's asked, you know, what would you do if you faced a man in tennis? And David Letterman, I think, expected her to say, you know, I'd kick some serious butt, man. I'd kick some butt. Or maybe it was Kimmel or one of those other shows. I don't remember. But anyway. I think that's what the host expected. And she goes, no, I'd get my butt kicked 6-0, 6-0. She goes, see, they're way better than we are. Absolutely. Because she's an honest woman. She's the best women's tennis player of all time. Women can do things men can't do. Men can do things women can't do. And that is just the way that it is. We're equal in heaven and everything else. That's just the way that it is. So, I mean, this just proves it. And to be a Democrat in 2025 means you have to defy all that is actually real. You have to defy it. You have a group of 13 and 14-year-old boys just smoked the greatest women's soccer players in Switzerland. Probably the greatest women's soccer players of all time in Switzerland. Got smoked. This isn't a all-star set of, I mean, again, it's just 14-year-old boys. It's under 15. I don't know if there's 12, but it's under 15. So there's not even a 15-year-old boy on the team. And they got smoked 7-1. It's not close, by the way. I watched a minute of it. It ain't close, folks. It's not close. And again, you have to absolutely defy reality to be a Democrat in 2025. All right, let's go to the next one. MJ Truth Ultra video. This is a massive criminal conspiracy all about George Floyd. Play it for me.
Truth about it, even 5 years later. It's almost as if you just continue to repeat this lie. People will believe it.
The mayor, Jacob Frey, who's not from Minneapolis, was sort of brought in and somehow becomes mayor and then wrecks the city that he's not from, didn't build. he says in public shortly after the death that the restraint technique the police officers used on George Floyd was not taught to them.
Correct.
And that's not true.
Yeah, these pages go missing of the manual.
Which explain the technique.
And exactly. And I said into my newsroom at the time, this is really quite something. They are trying to cover this up. We should really be doing a story about this. And I'm the crazy person.
What did they say?
It was just like, you have to go along with this narrative. This is the narrative of the moment. And we are going to push it on the public. We even had reporters using Black Lives Matter as hashtags in their reporting.
Not really.
Really? And that was allowed. And I said, well, here's their website. And this is a political organization. Why would we allow this ever? But again, I'm the crazy conservative, I guess, in the newsroom at this point. That was the corner I was cast in. And I should just shut up.
I guess this is why I've forgotten so many of the details, because they're just horrifying. So the public doesn't get to know that the restraint technique that the police officers, not just Derek Chauvin, but the other three, mm-hmm. used against this berserk drug addict, convicted felon, that was a technique that they learned at the police academy and that was...
Trained for decades. Yeah, it'd been around for... We found manuals with the MRT in the 90s. I mean, we did a lot of
research. Did they apply it correctly? Did they do what they were taught to do?
It's actually in there to wait, to hold and wait for EMS.
It's a dangerous thing for me to be, it's only 9:19 for me to get at something about George Floyd and Derek Chauvin, because I can go off on this for probably 45 minutes. But I'm trying not to do that because we got a lot to get to tonight. But anyway, so you have Liz Collin. That's who that is. That's former CBS News reporter. And what she found out was, and I'll get into everything Chauvin in just a second. I'm going to try to do this in less than 5 minutes. Don't laugh, Aaron. But anyway, I'm going to try to do it in less than 5 minutes. Liz Collins, CBS News. So she finds out that the technique and the technique is very, and by the way, the technique is absolutely taught. Tell them, how would you know? Oh, it's just a cop for 25 years. I'd say Derek Chauvin's 10 years younger than me, something along those lines, 10, 15 years younger than me, whatever. I would guess. I don't even know. But anyway, I was cop 1992 to 2017 straight, 25 years and one day. That's what I worked. Right here, Sarasota County Sheriff's Office. You can pull it up right now on Google. My name will pop right up. But anyway, that is what they teach you. That's exactly what they teach you. So Derek Chauvin did absolutely nothing wrong. Again, it's not exactly how I would handle that arrest because, in my opinion, and I think it's a rock solid truth, at that time, I don't think that there would be, when you have that many cops around, a lot of times, especially in metro police departments like Minneapolis, St. Paul Police Department, you have a lot of cops there in a little area. They actually have a lot more cops than rural cops because they have a lot more crime, but there's a lot more cops. So if it's slow or whatever, because by that time, when I was watching the video, there's at least five cops around, at least. And there's like a 17-minute video of the entire interaction with George Floyd, which completely and totally exonerates Derek Chauvin. Completely and totally exonerates him. George Floyd was saying, I can't breathe in the back of the police car sitting up. He was saying, I can't breathe before he's ever put in the back seat of the police car. You're like, what are you talking about, back seat? Because he was already detained prior to this. At the same call, it was a counterfeiting call. He had three times the lethal amount of fentanyl in his system already, as well as cocaine. I believe also methamphetamine was all in his blood system at the time. And he died of a lethal overdose of fentanyl. That's what he died of, according to the medical examiner. And Derek Chauvin is in prison for murdering him. Tom, how does that make sense? I can make it make sense because you have Tim Walz as the governor. I don't know if he's governor at that time, but you did have the current AG as the governor, as the AG at that time, Keith Ellison, who's a wife beater or somehow gets away with wife beating like Al Sharpton gets away without paying millions of dollars worth of taxes. Strange how that works, but you and I would be in federal prison. But anyway, I digress. So Liz Collin finds out that the technique that Chauvin is using on video is in their training manual. It's in their training manual, and CBS News sequestered and suppressed the story. Wouldn't let her report on it because it wouldn't meet the narrative. I thought that media was about reporting that which is factual. I thought there was, isn't that the point of courts? Isn't that the point of the media? How is it that Derek Chauvin is in prison for 22 years when the sentencing guidelines, even though they overcharged him and triple charged him for the same offense, called stacking charges, in my opinion, double jeopardy. But how is it that he's his even with that, his maximum, according to the sentencing guidelines, in Minnesota, you have statewide sentencing guidelines, had the same thing here in the state of Florida. According to those sentencing guidelines, the maximum sentence that he could receive for his convictions was 11 years because the man had never committed a crime his entire life prior to this, and he still didn't commit a crime here. I would have sat him up. I didn't ever finish that comment. I would have sat him up. Why would I have sat him up? Well, number one, because he says he can't breathe, I'm going to set him up. Just right out of instinct. Also, everybody's videoing you. So sit him up. I mean, come on. I mean, sit him up. And you have so many cops around that he had five cops there. He's already handcuffed. Sit him up. But Derek Chauvin did follow correct Minneapolis Police Department protocol. It's in their manual. Liz Collin finds out it's in their manual, goes and gets the manual, and those pages have been removed digitally. Now, there's hard copies that prove that prior to the event, and by the way, prove that those pages were there after the event, but were removed after the event before people could get a hold of the manual. So that's what happened. So she found out that those pages had been removed. So how in the world is Derek Chauvin in prison right now? Again, and I know all of you that watch this podcast regularly know what I'm about to get into, and I have to repeat it. I'm still inside of 5 minutes. I have to repeat it so people know. Well, Derek Chauvin strangled him to death, asphyxiated him to death. I want you to listen. Don't do it because some idiot will end up breaking their neck. Some idiot will end up actually asphyxiating themselves because people are stupid a lot of times. So don't try it. But I'm just telling you flat out, you cannot asphyxiate anybody by pressing on the back of their neck. I can sit here this entire show like this. I'm not restricted at all. I'm a stronger than average guy, I would say. I'm just saying that, you know, nothing. I'm perfectly able to breathe. I'm pushing on as hard as I can the back of my neck. So there's no way that Derek, and by the way, Derek Chauvin had one knee on the back of his neck. There wasn't even a bruise there. There wasn't even a bruise. There was no broken bones. There was not a bruise. There's not a broken blood vessel. There wasn't a bone bruise. There was nothing. He had one knee on the back of his neck, and then they were holding him down on the concrete. So in order for Derek Chauvin to have killed him, he would have had to strangle him to death using a knee to the back of the neck. Now, everybody watch. You have a big UFC event coming up this weekend. Watch it. And when that wins, because somebody invariably will be choked out. Do they choke him out from the back of their neck? That's the ultimate move in the MMA. Get a hold of the back of their neck. No, they get a choke right here. And they're not even, it's got nothing to do with the air going into anybody's lungs. It has to do with the blood going to the brain. That's what's being choked out is actually the blood supply to the brain if you're doing a rear naked choke correctly. So what does blood mean? Blood is oxygenation. When you breathe, what I'm doing is oxygenating my blood via my cardiovascular system. You got to breathe. Derek Chauvin, if you notice, could breathe the entire time. Now, in order for Derek Chauvin to have killed him, he would have had to asphyxiate him to death, strangle him to death. But George Floyd's oxygenation level at the moment of death, according to the medical examiner, what a lot of states call coroners, according to the medical examiner, he had 95% oxygenation at the moment of death. So how did Derek Chauvin asphyxiate him to death without asphyxiating him to death? Try saying that fast a couple times. I mean, has everybody seen what? And to be a Democrat in 2025, you and many, many rhino, cowardly, probably neocon MAGA morons, well, they'll all just bow to it. Derek Chauvin, in order, because of the societal consequences of speaking the truth, and the truth is, it's impossible for Derek Chauvin to have killed George Floyd. Because the only way that he could have killed him, did Derek Chauvin inject him with fentanyl? Did Derek Chauvin make him smoke methamphetamine? Did he make him snort cocaine or inject cocaine? No. The only way for Derek Chauvin to have killed him is to have strangled him, asphyxiate him to death. And his oxygenation rate at the moment of death was 95%, which is totally normal. So the man is rotting in prison for 22 years for a murder he did not commit. He's charged with second-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter, which is double jeopardy, which is stacking charges. So it's impossible. And to be a coward these days, well, you know what? I don't want to. Like right now, if Keith Ellison was a true man, he'd go, okay, it's impossible for him to be guilty. I need to get him free. If I was the AG, I would work 24/7 getting him free. Aaron knows me. It would never leave my mind. I'd be on it and on it and on it and on it until he was free. But because Keith Ellison sleeps like a baby at night knowing that he falsely imprisoned a man because of political reasons. Well, if you let him go, then people will burn Minneapolis down. That's got nothing to do with the decision. Again, from last night's show or the one before, can't remember which, you do not make right and wrong decisions. You do not make a decision where right and wrong is at stake based on consequence. You do what is correct. That's it. Same thing with is truth or a lie. You do not think, okay, should I tell the truth? Because if I do, there's severe consequences to me. No, you tell the truth. Or you burn in hell for all of eternity, Revelation 21:8, because God and Proverbs 6:16 through 19, three of those seven things that are an abomination to God, three of them are lying. In Revelation 21:8, he has a specific disdain for liars. So you never go, okay, I'm going to lie because the consequences of telling the truth are just too heavy. No, you don't do that. Now, that's how, Aaron, side by side. Oh, you just put the next one for me. Is that a video? Next one, a video?
Video.
Side by side this, though, for me real quick. That's what men like this do. How will this affect me? Now, if I tell the truth, it's going to have a detrimental effect on me. So I'm going to bold-faced freaking lie. And that's what this man has done his entire life. The skiff video, Tim Walz's ties to the Chinese government. Play for me, guys.
Representative Jim Banks, in a letter he sent on Tuesday to Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, was demanding answers about, quote, obvious security risks that the Democratic vice presidential pick Tim Walz may have posed to the U.S. during more than a dozen trips he took to China as he was serving in the National Guard. Banks wrote to Austin that the risks of hostile foreign intelligence activity the Minnesota governor faced almost certainly were related to his security clearance, since he was serving as a senior ranking guardsman when traveling in China between 1989 and 2005.
Spoken to a couple people that served with Tim Walz in Nebraska in that guard unit, and they suspect, and we've done stories and tried to reach out to Walz for comment, but they suspect that perhaps he took their standard operating procedure, the SOP, for the howitzer army tank. He was assigned to this tank. It was nuclear capable, and this was all laid out in the SOP that goes missing while he's there. And
the manual goes missing,
right? And they had talked to the FBI about this as well. There's so
many
questions.
What does
that mean?
Why did they talk to the FBI?
They think that he's traveling back and forth from China at this time, and then we also know that this
howitzer.
I know I sound crazy right now.
No, you're yeah. You don't sound crazy at all. You're recounting the facts.
Yeah.
You are saying that men he worked with in the National Guard in Nebraska went to the FBI because they believed he had given classified military secrets to the Chinese government?
They suspect that he did.
Well, they suspected to the point they went to the FBI.
Well, this was all when all these stories are coming out finally about his background, and they're like, maybe we should talk about this. These are guys that back then didn't report this. This was in the early 90s, and they always talked about it amongst themselves. And I think that they weren't completely aware of, you know, the potential threat something like this could pose, but they always thought this was very strange. And then China started producing almost a carbon copy of this military tank a couple of years later.
Come on. For real?
According to all of our research.
Any individual traveling dozens of times to an adversary nation in a personal capacity while having access to classified information poses an obvious security risk, the Indiana Republican said. I'm therefore concerned that Governor Walz may have failed to comply with foreign travel reporting requirements during these trips to China, despite his duty as a security clearance holder to protect our national security, he added. Such trips are often reported when service members go abroad, according to Banks and a former member of Trump's National Security Council who spoke with the Post. Ryan Kavanaugh said that the measures were designed to mitigate the risk of foreign intelligence activities and ensure that individuals traveling abroad are aware of potential threats. Kavanaugh said that if Walls failed to report or take action on any of the mitigation measures, the risks of him jeopardizing national security were, quote, very real, especially given his tenor and tone towards his time in China. Walls speaks Mandarin and first visited China in 1989 as a college grad, working as an American history and English instructor for the World Teach program in Foshan in southern China. He said when he was interviewed the year after his experience that no matter how long he lives, he will, quote, never be treated that well again. They gave me more gifts than I could bring home. It was an excellent experience. Years later, he would return to China with his wife, and on the fifth anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre, the two would be wed. Asked about the decision to be married on that date, his wife said he wanted to have a date he'll always remember, according to a report in The Guardian.
So they get married. Tim Walz makes numerous trips to China. You can go ahead and read this. I'll jump to this in a second. Makes numerous trips to China. Supposedly there's foreign travel reporting requirements, which he didn't meet. Why would that be? I mean, why wouldn't you simply, you're part of the Army National Guard or reserves, and of course, lots of stolen valor involved. I'll try not to list off into that because that'll be 20 minutes. But anyway, so why would you not simply, I mean, I know Will being in the Marine Corps, if he was traveling, he would make sure that he'd go to the Marine Corps and meet all the foreign travel reporting requirements. Why wouldn't Tim Walz? Why wouldn't he do that? Now, and then he ends up getting married. Who gets married on the anniversary of Tiananmen Square at Tiananmen Square? Who does that? The Tiananmen Square massacre is where you get married, and also, I believe, where they honeymooned? Who does that? And then also, all of these trips where he's hauling kids back and forth, which was strange also, but anyway. You got Mail Online News. Kamala Harris, VP choice Timmy Walz, had secret fling with daughter of top Chinese communist official. Would that be a honeypot operation? Is that what that is? It couldn't be any more quintessential than that. This couldn't be. There is no more example, perfect examples of honeypotting than ending up being in a fling with a top communist official's daughter. It's just like all of Hunter Biden's various, business dealings in China. It's always with the head of Chinese intelligence, who then disappeared. Isn't that weird how that all works with all of these Democrats, all strangely tied to China, when $1.4 billion sent to Biden for Hunter Biden for his consultancy fees for banking when he's never been a banker? There's Timmy right there with his little fling in China with a top communist official. And then you can just flow him back and forth there and whatever you want with the pics. But anyway, so while Tim is going back and having a sexual affair with a top communist official's daughter in China, while that happens, this tank manual disappears. Will, man of fought in war. This tank manual disappears. It's such a concern. Now, obviously, there's a camaraderie, a brotherhood amongst those who serve together. But it was so weird and so out of place that his own compatriots, his own fellow soldiers, were so concerned about it, they reported it to the FBI. Not just the manual was missing, but they suspected Tim Walz of giving that manual to China. Here's Timmy with all of his trips with all these kids over there so he can bang his little Chinese girlfriend while he's over there, too. I wonder if her name was Fang Fang, too. Or maybe she was Fung Fung, whatever.
Bang Bang.
But, yeah, Fang Fang, Bang Bang. But anyway, so this tank manual disappears. And shortly after it disappears, China shows up with the exact same tank. Isn't that odd? Like, you see him in his little safari hat. He doesn't look like a guy that would sell out his country, dude. You know, he looks like the creepy pedo next door. And there it is. So there's Timmy Walz. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to another glorious figure, shall we? Laura Logan video. Mike Pence, I've never heard this before. Mike Pence played a central role and taking down General Flynn. Isn't that weird? Play for me.
When Flynn was accused, falsely accused, by DOJ, by Sally Yates, by these awful people back in early 2017, as you say, that this was a plot to get rid of him. So he was accused of having talked about sanctions. This is very important. That was the accusation.
Yes, speaking you to, talked the to the Russian ambassador, about the sanctions that the Obama administration had put in place before and leaving office.
And Flynn always maintained, no, I didn't talk about sanctions. It didn't happen. He just absolutely maintained it. So Trump, to his credit, you know, very busy man. This was the first few weeks of his first term. He tasked his vice president, Mike Pence, with reviewing the transcript of Flynn's call with the Russian ambassador. He said, Mike, you go and tell me what really happened. And then Mike went into one of the rooms in the White House and they got the FBI to bring over the transcript. And it was the actual transcript. And he went through it. And the word sanctions is not mentioned in it. And yet, and I have no explanation of why he did that. Mike Pence then said, yep, Flynn lied. He's got to be fired. So it was Mike Pence's fault. People blame Trump for firing Flynn too quickly. But, you know, Trump did build in that safeguard where he had Pence double check that really happened. And Mike Pence said that really happened.
So first of all, you start off with the absolute ridiculous charges against General Flynn. You had, of course, the same old players, and I'm having Aaron research it right now, but some high-ranking FBI official's wife also worked for Pence, because Pence is a absolute rat of a human being, just a rat-turd human being, absolutely rat-turd. You got FBI officials whose wife worked for Mike Pence, well, the FBI's, Peter Strzok's wife! I knew it. I couldn't remember for sure because it's been a long time since I've talked about Crossfire Hurricanes, since I've talked about General Flynn's specific case. Aaron, leave that up for me. So isn't it weird how everybody has this incestual relationship outside of you and I? You and I aren't involved in it, but everybody else is, that rules over us in authoritarian fashion. But anyway, so Mike Pence, he is the incoming NSA, National Security Advisor. So he does what every incoming NSA official has ever done, and that is to start contacting his compatriots in other countries, which everybody does. And then they have a meeting in the Oval Office. And by the way, Barack Hussein Obama told Donald Trump, do not hire General Flynn, which means what, everybody? Make sure you hire General Flynn.
Yeah.
Because he's the only one who's actually telling the truth. And for transparency, General Flynn's done an event here at the church. I've met him. I've met members of a family. Great human being. I mean, fantastic. His whole family, a family member attends the church. I mean, great human beings, really. He's the nicest person in the world. But anyway, said just absolutely railroaded by Mike Pence. Oh, the evangelical Christian, because he's got the right haircut. He's got his Bible Fish Bible cover. Can't stand they're just the embodiment of falsehood, just disgusting human beings. They're a parody of what people think Christians are. I honestly can't stand Judas Pence, and this just shows you who he is. So anyway, so Mike Pence is doing those things, and then he gets falsely accused. You have Strzok's wife. The FBI official whose wife worked for Mike Pence was Peter Strzok. Strzok's assistant, Kathleen Seaman, was married to Jeffrey Pitcock. These are all names I remember, who served as Pence's chief of staff. So it was Strzok's assistant, Catherine Seaman, was married to Joshua Pitcock, who served. So it wasn't Strzok's wife, but it was Strzok's assistant's husband worked in Pence's office. Strange how that worked. And then who goes and does the interview with General Flynn? Oh, of course, Peter Strzok, who has an inroad already into, is already butt buddies with Mike Pence. So anyway, so you have Strzok go in there and conduct an interview. Now, after their interviews, they do these sheets called 302s, which are basically witness statements from the FBI themselves. And both Strzok, after interviewing Flynn, who would never lie, and of course, General Flynn knows now, never talked to the FBI. But at the time, he was like, I've been working to govern my whole life. I'm an American hero. I'm an intel expert. No, there's no problem. I have nothing to hide. I haven't done anything because Mike Flynn never did anything. He never did anything illegal. So anyway, so Flynn goes ahead and does the interview. The 302s afterwards says he was absolutely exemplary. He told the truth about everything. That's what Peter Strzok write. Absolutely no dishonesty whatsoever. They later rewrite their 302s and criminally charge General Flynn. I see, here's the thing. I shouldn't get into this law enforcement stuff. Leave that up for me, Aaron. Leave that up for me. I want all those names. Thank you very much. So I should ever, like, you know, get into these things, but if it's normal law enforcement, I mean normal. See, we're not dealing with normal. We're dealing with swamp enforcement, swamp law enforcement inside of the, you know, the D.C. circuit. And, you know, you're dealing with the Tanya Shutkins of the world and, you know, corrupt judges and whatever else. But in normal law enforcement, think about what would happen if I did a witness statement myself. And I wrote a witness statement down. And then, and by the way, it's absolutely true that they, on the record, and confessed that they rewrote their 302s, their witness statements. Those are sworn statements that they swear and affirm to, because everybody's a notary who's in law enforcement. You're actually, you have notary power. So you're swearing to those things. So in normal law enforcement, if you were actually heading into a trial and they found out that you rewrote your witness statement, it's over. If you don't even do the proper chain of custody for drugs, like, you know, you confiscate drugs and you put them into property. If you don't do the proper chain of custody, it's out. If you're doing a DUI case and you leave out a field sobriety test, it's out. You're finished. Here, the FBI can rewrite pre-trial General Flynn's witness, their own witness statement, not even General Flynn's witness statements, their own witness, rewrite their own witness statements, saying that their initial one was he was absolutely exemplary, absolutely told the truth. And then they changed it that he was showing some level of dishonesty. And part of that dishonesty was, did he talk about sanctions with Russia? He didn't. He was calling up. And by the way, they also traced his phone calls. They, you know, they did, the NSA conducted a, I don't remember, it's been so long, forgive me for not remembering, and Aaron, if you remember any of them, just bark it over me, but anyway, Aaron will remember some stuff. But they actually got a hold of his phone calls in violation of course, the Constitution, in violation of federal statute also, and Barack Obama did many of those raids of our communications, many of them. During his time, they used an excuse, because you're allowed to listen in to foreign calls, but you have to actually, mute. You have to actually mute the Americans part of the phone calls. You're not allowed to listen to that without a warrant, but they went ahead and listened to that anyway. They can come up with their various excuses. All of them are unlawful. All of them committed crimes listening to Flynn's phone calls. But even with listening to the phone calls, he never discussed sanctions on Strzok and the other agent that went in with Strzok on their 302s. It says he never discussed sanctions. Even if he did discuss sanctions, he's allowed to do it. He's the incoming NSA. So he did nothing wrong. But Pence goes in to Donald Trump. And isn't it weird, because he's being influenced by an FBI that's really, for all intents and purposes, being run by Obama, who wanted Flynn out. And Pence goes in and lies about Flynn to get him fired. That's the kind of human being. Yeah, he's got his perfect silver hair, and it's conservative cut, and he's a Baptist and whatever. He's a freaking scoundrel. Just a repulsive, disgusting human being. That's who he is. And that's what he did to Flynn. That's who Mike Pence is. Yeah, you're my man, Aaron. Unmasking the phone calls. Aaron remembered it last time. Aaron already had to find it last time. Unmasking phone calls. That's what they did with Flynn. They unmasked his phone calls. It's illegal. It's absolutely illegal. And people need to go to prison. Brennan needs to go to prison for the rest of his life. Clapper for the rest of his life. Hussein Obama for the rest of his life. Strzok for the rest of his life. Page for the rest of her life. Federal prison for these people for the rest of their lives over this stuff. All right, let's go to AutoPen, since that's the title of the show. And so, is it really 9:47? Holy crap. But anyway, so let's go. So it turns out, I should have brought a picture. Aaron, see if you can find a pic of the AutoPen machine. I mean, if you are able to find one, just throw it up and just throw it side by side whenever you get it, unless we're running a video. Because I want everybody to know that during the 4 years of the Biden administration, which we'll make sure I got it right, this was all of 2021, right? 22, 23, 24, right? So during those 4 years, our president, in fact, was a piece of digital equipment run by a group of people who named themselves, get this, Will, the Politburo. That's a fact.
Oh, my God.
They actually named themselves O'Biden staffers named themselves the Politburo, and this is what was running our country. This machine right here, run by a group of communists that call themselves the Politburo. So, Aaron, keep that handy. Keep that pic handy. And just, you can side by side that whenever I'm talking for this entire segment. Okay. All right, so here we go. So the researcher video, the Joe Biden auto pen presidency, I don't know if I'll pronounce his name right, Theodore Wode speaking. Play for me.
The president's signature is itself the protection of democratic principle. When the president signs, he communicates his assent and endorsement of the action he takes. The auto pen is a device that signs the president's signature to a document. The oversight project, of which I am a board member, has discovered that the Biden White House deployed an auto pen to affix President Biden's signature to pardons, prison commutations, executive orders, and presidential proclamations. The Oversight Project's research has found that the Biden White House first deployed the auto pen to affix President Biden's signature to a proclamation on day 5 of his administration, and that there were at least 3 different auto pen signatures in use throughout President Biden's tenure in the White House. In June 2022, the Biden White House began deploying the auto pen to sign clemency warrants and executive orders. Auto pen use skyrocketed from there. We found that of the 51 clemency warrants issued during the Biden presidency, over half, 32 in total, were signed with an auto pen. And these include some of the most controversial acts of clemency of the Biden presidency, including death row commutations and the preemptive pardons of members of the Biden family, Dr. Anthony Fauci, General Mark Milley, and more that were issued in the final days of the Biden presidency. We reviewed President Biden's schedule and his publicly available media and were unable to find any record of President Biden's personally approving these actions, such as a statement issued by the president himself to reporters. In addition, we found that the Biden White House used the auto pen to affix President Biden's signature to clemency warrants and executive orders while the president himself was in Washington, D.C. for at least some of that day and thus was presumably available to sign important executive actions. Finally, we found multiple days where President Biden wet-signed a bill into law, but used an auto pen to issue an executive order or for other important executive actions. The Biden White House's widespread use of an auto pen to affix President Biden's signatures to documents that exercise executive powers belonging solely to the president poses significant constitutional, legal, and practical considerations. Once the president's signature is copied and loaded into the auto pen, the machine can sign documents as the president himself would. To be blunt, by using the auto pen, anyone can sign documents as the president himself. Now, to be clear, I'm not here today to suggest that the auto pen is bad. It's just technology. I'm here today because of questions concerning President Biden's capacity and whether the auto pen was used to usurp presidential power or to conceal the president's decline. As the sitting president's mental acuity declined, potentially to the point of incapacitation, his administration's expansion of the powers of the presidency raises more questions than answers. Any investigation into this matter should focus not only on whether President Biden directed or authorized subordinate staff to take action in certain instances, but whether he had the capacity to do so at all. The 25th Amendment lays out clear procedures for what to do when the president is incapacitated. It was carefully drafted and informed by our nation's history. The Biden administration ignored it all to aggrandize executive power and push the country further in their preferred ideological direction. It is our obligation at this point to get to the bottom of these issues and ask the important question as to whether or not the auto pen and other devices were used to cover and obscure President Biden's mental decline, undermining our national security and also the Constitution.
Now, he says that he's not there to attack the auto pen. I am. I'm here to attack the auto pen. Why do we have to have it? I understand that that there may be an occasion if the president is overseas and something just has to be signed. When is everything done so quickly in D.C. that it has to be signed that day? I mean, we sit here and we weigh the big, like, look at the big, beautiful bill. Although I'm against it, look how long it's taking to even get to the floor for a vote. I mean, when does the president just have to sign something? It's another lie. It's another convenience lie. Or, you know what, to sign up for, you know, for a biometric ID, sign up for CBDC because it's so convenient. Put a chip in your right hand or on your forehead because it's so convenient and it'll help stop fraud. Whatever. It's all lies. There's no reason a president can't sign every single document. With maybe an extreme exceptions. They should be able to sign every last document. That makes no sense. It's along the lines of the ideology of the voting machine. Why do we need digital voting machines that are never hooked up to the internet until they're always hooked up to the internet every single time? Why do we need a voting machine that does a whole bunch of, you ever watch how that technology works where they make their presumptions beforehand and then have to somehow reconcile the data as it comes in to meet their proclamations? That's how voting machines work. It's an absolute joke and very easily broken into, very easily hacked, and very easily manipulated. And that's the same thing here. Why do we have to have it? Why? It makes absolutely no sense. So look at the timeline here. He started using the auto pen on day 5. He's in D.C. Numerous times the auto pen was used while he was in D.C. Why would that be? Obviously, we know they're all covering up for his incapacitation. But it's not just that. It's not just that. Okay, yeah, that's criminal, and they all need to go to federal prison for it. But it's not just that. Were they also using the auto pen for money, for bribes? And by bribes, it's very rarely people are like, well, I don't see any money in their account. That's not how D.C. works. Bribes are, wouldn't you like this seat on a board that pays you $80,000 a month? So, you know, with plausible deniability, I didn't give you any money, but I, you know, if you just sign this, if you just put in the old machine here, you know, a little auto pen pardon for my friend, you know what? You're going to be on the board of Pfizer. You're going to have Hunter Biden, that $83,000 a month, you know, from being on the board of Burisma. We guarantee you he'll be on the board of Raytheon. You know, we got a speaking engagement for you for $500,000. I didn't give you $500,000. You got the $500,000 for the speaking engagement. But it's because you initiated the auto pen pardon. Half of his pardons, commendations, proclamations, clemency warrants, including Fauci's and Milley's, were auto penned. And there's no record of approval in any way, shape, or form that Biden approved one of them. And I'm trying to remember this. I had a stat because that's just covering half of the pardons and commendations, clemency warrants. That's half of those were the auto pen. But I may have it. Maybe it's buried in my pile here. But anyway, it's far higher than half of all of his EOs and all the things that he did, things that he signed as president. It's way more than half were actually signed by that guy who's running the entire country. Let's go to the next one. Kyle Becker video. Here is the White House staffer who was really running the Biden presidency. Her name is Neera Tanden. Now, everybody, you don't have to be, obviously, I've done a lot of interrogations with people. I've spoken to a lot of people, right, before, during, after they commit a crime. So I can tell when somebody's lying. So Will and Aaron, you guys look, everybody in the chat, everybody's not in the chat, still a couple more minutes on Christian Television Network. Everybody watching, you make your own decision. Is this woman lying? Because there's only two choices. She's either lying or she's bold-faced lying. Those are the only two choices. You decide, though, for yourself. Watch your body language. Play for me.
I just spoke with the House Oversight Committee, Majority and Minority Counsel. I answered every question, was pleased to discuss my public service, and it was a thorough process, and I'm glad I answered every question.
Was there an effort to disguise President Biden's condition?
Absolutely not.
That's how you know somebody's lying. They'll walk away. Was there an effort to disguise the decline of the president? Absolutely not. She turns her back and walks away. She's lying. And the way that she answers it, kind of an ARC church pastor style, answered every question, everything went well, you're lying. You're absolutely lying. That's, I mean, I want everybody just to picture, what would I look like behind that podium? I mean, look at how I talk. I mean, do I even hesitate to say that Derek Chauvin is absolutely innocent, even though that it will cause a large portion of the black community to call me a racist? I don't give a crap. Do I even hesitate to say that we never should have bombed Iran? No, I say what I mean. I'm not lying. I might be wrong about something. I'm certain I'm not wrong about either one of those. I'm just saying I might be wrong about something, but I ain't lying. I'm not lying. You can tell she's lying the whole time. Just read her. I mean, I've conducted, I don't know how many interviews in my life, how many interrogations in my life. I can just flat out tell you she is a bold-faced freaking liar. Let's go to the next one. Hustle B tweet. Auto pen presidency. Biden aide admits under oath she signed as the president. Aaron, get this, just for 20 months. Oh. I mean, that's who's running. Hey, there's our president. There she is. How many of you? Hey, Aaron, can you pull up the ballot that you and I had to decide whether between Trump, Biden, or Nina Tandon?
Yeah, no.
Oh, you can't find it. No, oh, wait, let me check in. How's the Epstein flight log looking?
Still not out.
Still not out. Okay, yeah. I'm just checking. I'm just looking for the flight log. Yep. Not anything else. No victims on the flight log. I'm just looking for the flight log. But yet, Bongino and Cash Patel won't release it. I don't know. It's weird. Sitting with Tricky Dicky Durbin, Little Dicky, as we speak. Sitting with Little Dicky Durbin right now. I need to remember to put the little in there. I always forget the, I always say Tricky Dicky. You know, it's Tricky Little Dicky Durbin.
There you go.
Always got to remember that. So anyway, sitting there right now, still haven't gotten it. But anyway, we're only what? Well, how many days are we in, Aaron? 151, 152 days into the Trump. Yeah, look it up for me. Yeah. Trump administration. So she was just running the Biden administration for 20 months. Almost 2 years. There she is. That's your president. There she is. That's the president. Testifying before House Oversight, former Biden aide Nira, I think it's Nira, I'm sorry, I've been saying Nina, 146th day of the Trump administration, former Biden aide Nira Tan, it's easier to say anyway, admitted she controlled, oh, Aaron, doesn't that make you feel good, Will? Is that good? Oh, doesn't that make you feel good? Doesn't it make you feel good that she was controlling the auto pen? She controlled the president's auto pen from October 2021 to May of 2023. She herself, authorizing documents, Nira Tandon, this political whore, that's who it was. I mean, absolute leftist communist acolyte. That's who was the president of the United States. She was authorizing documents as Biden. As Biden. Did everybody hear that? As Biden. During a time when questions about his mental fitness were growing. Pardons, executive orders, official actions, all potentially signed by Nira Tandon and the rest of the Politburo, by someone who wasn't president, who was actually running the show. Go to the next one for me. Former Biden aide, Nira Tandon, does not know who ordered President Otto Penn's signatures. Okay, does everybody get that? Please, do you understand this? Do you believe, just leave this up, do you believe anything that's written in a history book anymore? Aaron, do you?
No.
I Will, do you? I mean, you're a patriot, war fighter. I don't know what to believe anymore. I mean, I have books on World War II at home that I've read. I don't know if any of it's freaking true. I know Pearl Harbor's a big sham. I know that. I know that there was a meeting between FDR and Winston Churchill that orchestrated it, and they had decoded the Japanese military codes and knew 12 days in advance that Pearl Harbor was coming via their own codes that they had already, what do you call it, Aaron? Decoded?
Is decoded,
that
right? Yep.
Decoded? They already decoded them a week in advance, 10 days in advance, something along those lines before Pearl Harbor, and made sure all the carriers were gone and then allowed the attack that then launched us into the war. Isn't that weird how that happened? I don't know. But anyway, and then make sure you deep dive into the ties between Winston Churchill and Adolf Hitler prior to the war. Might want to look into that too before you start believing in all of these. Now, the war fighters like Will, they are heroes. But the leaders, again, young men like Will in Iraq, fighting for old men who know each other. So Will, probably killing people in Iraq, killing people, fighting his own life at risk, his well-being at risk, killing people that he doesn't know for old men who know each other. That's war. So I want everybody to think about what we just read a moment ago, is that she was running, Nira Tandon, was running the auto pen for 20 months. 20 months, and she has no idea who ordered the president's auto pen signatures. So how do we even go? How do I go? Where do I go, Aaron, from that? So she doesn't know who's telling her to do it, so it must be her that's doing it.
I just did it.
Again, if she doesn't know who's, she doesn't know who's ordering the signatures. So how did she end up? I'm assuming, Aaron, you help me with the tech.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you have to push a button somewhere for the auto pen, right?
Absolutely.
So she's pushing the button by the order of somebody that she doesn't know. So how would she ever push the button?
You have to line the document up too.
Yeah, I mean, you have to like get. So whose orders is she following when she doesn't know who told her? How to use the auto pen? I don't even know how to. I don't even know how to frame this sentence, because she gets something to have the auto pen sign.
Right. Who gave it to her?
Who gave it to you? Does she just get a desk? Does she get a stack on her desk in the morning and says, "Hey, political whore, sign these for me"? And she has no idea who did it. Now we all know that she's bold-faced lying. We need to make sure she's under oath and let her bold-faced lie under oath. And she needs to spend a considerable amount of time in federal prison, if not the rest of her life, in federal prison for treason. She has no idea who's giving her the orders to use the auto pen machine. Go to the next one for me, please. Rep James Comer video. The White House waived executive privilege and Jill Biden's work husband, Anthony Bernal, ran for cover. Anthony Bernal bailed on his scheduled appearance. Oh, I wonder why. Now, remember, you have nothing to fear if you didn't do anything wrong. Didn't that what we've heard over the last 4 years?
Right.
Now, we have something to fear because they'll tell us we did something wrong even though we didn't do anything wrong. So we have something to fear from any of their judicial proceedings, because although we did nothing wrong, they'll falsely accuse us of doing things wrong. So we have something to fear. They don't, however, because we're not going to falsely accuse them. So if you didn't do anything wrong, then I would. And again, no one's above the law. That's what we've heard for 4 years. No one's above the law. But Anthony Bernal, Joe Biden's work husband, he's running for cover, so he might be looking for a subpoena coming into his mailbox very soon or via email very soon. Play for me.
Hey, guys, that's right. Jill Biden's right-hand man, Anthony Bernal, is refusing to appear before the House Oversight Committee today. Bernal is known for being Jill Biden's quote-unquote work husband, and he said yesterday that he would not sit down for a closed-door interview with the committee. His decision comes after lawmakers say he previously agreed to do so. Committee Chairman James Comer putting out this statement saying, quote, "Now that the White House has waived executive privilege, it is abundantly clear that Anthony Bernal, Jill Biden's so-called work husband, never intended to be transparent about Joe Biden's cognitive decline. I will promptly issue a subpoena to compel Anthony Bernal's testimony before the committee." But former Biden aide Neera Tanden did testify to the committee on Tuesday, and a source confirmed to Fox that she did admit to being authorized to direct auto pen signatures. Now, that auto pen replicated Biden's signature on documents like pardons, memos, and more. But Tanden was not sure who gave the final approval. A new Fox News poll shows that 52% of Americans believe it's important for Congress to investigate the use of Biden's auto pen, and 50% want to investigate Biden advisors who made key decisions. Meanwhile, the committee is still waiting to hear from Biden's former doctor, Kevin O'Connor, in addition to two other former advisors. President Trump has also instructed the Justice Department to launch a separate investigation into the alleged cover-up. Guys.
Brooke Singman live for us. Brooke,
you may remember me. So, yeah, this is the guy also that everybody was terrified of in the White House, is Anthony Bernal, now running for cover. Now, why would he run for cover? Simply go testify. I mean, we're just talking about auto pen signatures. You either were involved in a fraudulent operation or you weren't. Because auto pen has certainly been used before. It was initiated, of course, by Hussein Obama, who actually wrote in the EO authorizing, of course, a Democrat, you know, just like they bring in the voting machines. They also bring in the auto pen. And Aaron brought up a very interesting point, because now everybody, and I never thought of it until he said it, everybody now has plausible deniability. I don't. Did you authorize it? Did you authorize it? Did you push the button? I don't remember pushing the button. Did you push the button? And there's no evidence. There's no way to prove any of it. That's the whole thing. I mean, allegedly, there's no way to prove it. What you're gonna have to have is somebody, you know, get caught in a perjury, a legitimate perjury trap, and then leverage them into confession. But anyway, so this guy is now running for cover. Why would you run for cover? Just simply answer the questions. Did you receive any financial benefit for any document signed via auto pen? Did you use the auto pen unilaterally without the approval of the President of the United States? That's just right there. Answer those questions. Did anybody, under oath, put them all in the box too. Get them all on polygraphs. Did you ever use the auto pen signature machine for personal benefit, for personal financial benefit? Did you ever use it without the approval of the President of the United States? Let's just answer the questions. That's all. All right, let's go to the next one. Oversight Project video. Auto pen update. We analyzed Biden's January 19, 2025 pardons. Play it for me. So you remember it was 50% before, but actually, I mean, it was probably 50% total with the commendations and the various other, some of the list of that was, I'm getting through some slides. I'm getting through some slides tonight. I'm having to unbury everything. The pardons, commendations, proclamations, clemency warrants. So here, funny though, so you have Fauci's, these are all, of course, preemptive pardons, which by the way, the only preemptive pardon ever used in history before was Gerald Ford's for Richard Nixon. And how many preemptive pardons did Biden sign? Well, we know there's at least four right here, five of them, actually. So, I mean, Biden family, he pardoned his entire family using the auto pen. He's in D.C. I mean, this is, you know, like the week before he leaves office. He's in D.C. Why is he doing it? Or is it Neera Tanden doing it? Or is it, what's this, I always remember the names. Always, that's from Bongino. Anthony Burnell, I'll keep this on the top of my stacks here. Anthony Burnell, is it Neera Tanden that signed him? Are they receiving bribes? Are they receiving, again, bribes or not? Here's a $10,000 check. Everybody wants to think simplistic. It's not that way. It's literal currency inside of D.C. Speaking engagements. A partnership at a law firm, a board position, a future job with a congressman, whatever it is. And of course, they're all six figures that are paid through NGOs funded by Will. Will, me, Aaron, and all of you watching, we pay for all the NGOs that end up paying for these people to live in the absolute lap of luxury. For many, many years, all paid for by our taxpayer dollars because they're part of this foundation or that foundation. They sit on the board. They're the senior advisor for the Democratic Butthurt Foundation, and they get, six figures to be the senior advisor. That's the promises they all get. So right here, Biden, January 19th, this is the day before. He's in D.C., and Neera Tanden, or I guess maybe I think she was off the machine at that point. Was it Burnell? Who was signing these pardons, these preemptive pardons that are unconstitutional and illegal? I don't care the one for Nixon. How do you write somebody a preemptive pardon? So no matter what crime they commit, they can murder somebody, they have a preemptive pardon? I mean, it makes absolutely no sense. But Milley got one, Fauci got one, Lundergan got one. The entire J6 committee. How does that work? The entire Biden family all signed via auto pen. All right, let's go to the next one. Oversight Project tweet. Biden auto pen pardons on vacation. Who is behind this auto pen on 12/30/2022 that pardoned six criminals with the exact same auto pen signature while Biden was vacationing and golfing in the U.S. Virgin Islands? Note, they all say they are signed in the city of Washington. Our auto pen investigation continues. So, of course, the auto pen is just being used all over the place. Lots of people. I mean, you can go back and it's pretty much every president with the exception of Trump, because Aaron ran the finances on Trump. Trump's worth about $8 billion. Trump doesn't need any money. So it doesn't behoove him to receive bribes. Folks, $8 billion. And that's a low estimate because I've heard higher than that, but we'll just go with he's worth $8 billion. That is 8,000 millions. 8,000 millions. She doesn't need any money, but the rest of these idiots like Burnell and Neera Tanden and all the rest of them and the Biden family, Hunter Biden can't pay his own legal fees right now. They need money. They need money. And you just got the Biden family looting the entire planet. But anyway, so who is it that's, who's approving these? And there should be some, because of course, we know Neera Tanden has already said she doesn't know who's approving them. She doesn't even know who told her to push the button somehow. She has no idea who told her to push the button. Push the button. Nobody told her. So I guess she just got a stack of pardons or whatever on desk, and she just somehow knew to put them on the auto pen machine without anybody ever telling her to do so, because she has no idea who told her to use the auto pen machine, which, of course, makes absolutely zero sense. So who is behind the signing of these documents? We need to know. And there would be some sort of digital trace to this, because somebody would have sent some sort of digital communique, either via text or email, or we would be able to even see a phone call from the Virgin Islands to who's ever running the auto pen machine on this date and time, approving the auto pen pardons of these criminals. All right, let's go to the next one. Oversight Project video. Democrats are dead wrong. The auto pen cannot be used if the president does not direct it. Play for me.
Of your colleagues on the Democrat side have said, well, there's an OLC opinion here. We don't need to talk anymore. There's an OLC opinion. It says you can use the auto pen. That opening, the opening paragraph of that OLC opinion says you can use the auto pen, but only when the president directs that you do so under his decision-making power, right? It is very clear again and again that the president actually has to make the decision. That cannot be delegated to a staffer or an advisor. And there's no indication here that anyone other than staff were making these decisions.
So not only, okay, here, everyone understand what was on the video. So you have to be able to prove that the president ordered somebody. And there would be, every time Trump has ever ordered anybody to use the auto pen machine, there is a record of it. We all know that. There's a record of it. Some sort of digital record, some sort of witness, some sort of email, some sort of text message. Of course, there is none of that under the Biden administration, which is why Burnell is running for cover, Jill Biden's work husband, running for cover. So we now know it's established by law that you have to be able to show that the president ordered somebody to use the auto pen. We have none of that here. None of that whatsoever is actually present with the Biden auto pen use. Absolutely none. And you're not allowed, get this now, Aaron, you're not allowed to delegate that. You're not allowed to delegate that authority, but Neera Tanden can't tell you who ordered her to use the auto pen.
Weird.
But you can't, you're not allowed to delegate that authority, and you have, because liberals, again, they're zealous but stupid. They are very fervent human beings about their idiocy, but they're stupid people because they're fervent about idiocy. So they call themselves the Politburo. And that's absolute fact, by the way, and the Biden administration has already admitted to it. But anyway, so he's not allowed to delegate that authority, but there's no record of him ever ordering anybody to use the auto pen machine. So it was delegated. And here's the thing. So not only is it can't be delegated, somebody delegated it for him. So somebody didn't, it was never delegated to Burnell. It was never delegated via her own testimony to Neera Tanden. Somebody just did it anyway. It was never delegated. Someone just usurped the authority for freaking years and was signing whatever they wanted. And for what reason? That's what needs to be found out. All right, that's it. Appreciate you guys. Rumble rant tonight. Only one. Skunk71. $5. Thank you so much in the rant. Thank you guys so much in the chat. Hey, stick around for the post game. It's really good. Stick around for post game. It is awesome. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.